Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 65. Parismam et adhyatmanam parokshena pradasitam yat parokshapyo devo bhagavan vishvabhavana parismam et adhyatmanam parokshena pradosita yat paroksha priyo devo bhagavan vishvabhavanah. Parishmam, O King Prachitahabari, etat, this, adyatmam, narration of self-realization. Parokshena, indirectly. Pradashitam, instructed. Yat, because. Paroksha priya, interesting by indirect description. Deva, the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Vishvabhavanaha, the cause of all causes. Translation. My dear King Prachinabari, the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus I have described the story of Paranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. This is a long purport, so bear with me. There are many similar stories in the Puranas for self-realization, as stated in the Vedas, Paroksha Priya Ivahi Devaha. There are many stories in the Purana that are intended to interest ordinary men in transcendental subjects. But actually, these refer to real facts. They are not to be considered stories without transcendental purpose. Some of them refer to real historical facts. One should be interested, however, in the real purport of the story. Indirect instruction is quickly understandable for a common man. Factually, the path of bhakti is the path of hearing directly about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. But those who are not interested in hearing directly about the activities of the Lord, or who cannot understand them, can very effectively hear such stories and fables as this one narrated by Narad Muni. The following is a glossary of some of the important words in this chapter. Adesha Kari, the actions resulting from sinful activities. Agastya, the mind. Atmaya, the governor of the senses, the mind. Arubud Arabuddha, various types of Shravana and Kirtana of the Supreme Lord's name, quality, form, and so on. Ari, implements like disease. Boga, enjoyment. Herein, this word refers to real enjoyment in the spiritual life. Britya, the servants of the body, namely the senses. Dravida Raja, devotional service or a person eligible to act in devotional service. Dvara, the doors of the body, such as the eyes and ears. Griha, home. For spiritual cultivation, one requires an undisturbed place or the good association of devotees. Idamadvaha, the devotees who approach the spiritual master. Idham, referred to wood that is taken to burn a fuel for fire. A brahmachari is supposed to take this idma to ignite the fire used in performing sacrifices. By spiritual instruction, a brahmachari is trained to ignite a fire and offer obeisances in the morning. He is supposed to go to the spiritual master to take lessons on transcendental subject matter, and the Vedic injunction is that when approaching a spiritual master, one must carry with him fuel to perform a jagya or sacrifices. The exact Vedic injunction is as followed. Tad vijanartam sagurum eva bigachate samit panit shrotitam brahma nistham. To learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach the spiritual master. In doing so, should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptoms of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he is constantly engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is in the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12. By serving such a bona fide spiritual master, gradually a conditioned soul becomes detached from the material enjoyment and invariably makes progress in spiritual realization under the direction of the spiritual master. Those who are misled by illusory energy are never interested in approaching a spiritual master to make life successful. Jaya, intelligence. Jirna Sarpa, fatigued heir of life. Kalakanya, the invalidity of old age. Kama, high fever. Kulakala, the place where there is no disturbance. Kutambini, intelligence. Madhirkshana. Madhirkshana refers to one whose eyes are so attractive that one who observes them becomes maddened by her. In other words, the words Madhirkshana means a very beautiful young girl. According to Jiva Goswami, Madhirkshana means the personified deity of bhakti. If one is attracted by the bhakti cult, he becomes engaged in the service of the Lord and the spiritual master, and thus his life becomes successful. Vaidarbhi, the woman, became a follower of her husband. As she left her comfortable home for the service of her husband, a serious student of spiritual understanding must give up everything for the service of the spiritual master. As stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasadha. If one wants actual success in life, he must strictly follow in the instructions of the spiritual master. By following such instructions, one is sure to make rapid progress in spiritual life. This statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti is in pursuance of the following injunction from the Shvetasvara Upanishad. Yasha Deva Para Bhaktir Yata Devi Tata Guru. Tashyaita katita ya artha prakashante mahatmana. Only those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. In the Chandogya Upanishad it is said, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who approaches the bona fide spiritual master can understand everything about spiritual realization. Malaya Dvaja. A nice devotee who is like sandalwood. Panchala. The five senses. The five sense objects. Parichara. The total aggregate of the senses. Pura Jana. The seven elements that constitute the body. Putra, patience and gravity. Prajavara, a kind of fever called Vishnu Javara. Pratikriya, counteracting agents such as mantras and medicines. Pura Palaka, the life air. Putra, consciousness. Sainika, the condition of threefold miseries. Saptasuta, the seven sons, namely hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping the deity and becoming a servant of the Lord. Surajya, endeavouring. Sutta, the son of Vaidarbhi, or in other words, one who is somewhat advanced in fruitive activities and who comes in contact with a devotee spiritual master. Such a person becomes interested in the subject matter of devotional service. Vaidarbhi, the woman who, formerly a man, but took birth as a woman in his next life because of too much attraction to women. Darbha means kusa grass. In fruitive activities or karmakandiya ceremonies, one requires kusa grass. The Vaidarbhi refer to one who takes birth in a family of karmakandiya understanding. However, if by karmakandiya activities one by chance comes in contact with a devotee, as Vaidarbhi did, when she married Malayadvaj, his life became successful. He then pursued the devotional service of the Lord. The conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by following the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Vidarbha Rajasimha, the best of persons who are expert in fruitive activities. Virja, one who has mercy. Yavana, the servant of Yamaraj. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 28th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in His Next Life. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Militam Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktabrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, my dear King Prachanabhari, translation this is, my dear King Prachanabhari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, is celebrated to be known indirectly. Thus I have described the story of Puranjana to you. Actually, it is an instruction for self-realization. So this comes to the end of that allegorical pastime. It's now the end of that, and Narad Muni, great preacher, didn't want to tell the king that he was in Maya. You can imagine going up to the Prime Minister and saying, hey, listen, Scott Morrison, you're actually in Maya. So it's not really the sort of thing, don't put it too high up. Actually, what you notice when you see the camera, I watch the classes at home, and you have this camera right in the face. So if you can possibly keep it as low as possible, then people can see your facial reactions and stuff. Is that okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Narad Muni was a great preacher. He wanted to get King Prachanabhari out of Maya. And so because he understood the king will not open his heart to receive any medicine, any instruction. So I've had some medical issues over the last week. And so this medicine and sort of analogy hits home with me. So spiritual instruction is like medicine. It's like medicine. So he started to talk about someone else who was in Maya, which was really interesting. The King Prachanabhari, was very, very eager to hear this, you know, because by nature, individuals like to hear the troubles and disturbances of someone else, especially a king likes to hear what's the problem with the other king, you know. So we have that in our society too, you know, if somebody in a high position, they call it the tall poppy syndrome, you know. So if they hear something about, oh, did you hear about the opposition leader? You know, he did this and then, so it's like that. So King Prachanamari was very eager to hear about this other king. And so it's by nature we want to hear gossip, we want to hear rumours, we like to listen to conspiracies, all intriguing sort of things. You know, like, oh, what did you hear about Bhakti the other day? You know, it's like, did you know he was doing such and such? So, you know, King Prachanabhari, his heart opened up, his ears opened up. You know, he was wide. Ah, Puranjana. Tell me more about this Puranjana. I want to hear all about what happened to him. This was at the start. So as Narad Muni was revealing how Puranjana was attached to his body and how he was attached to fruitive activities, and how he was attached to religiosity without the real realization of God and soul, and what the results were going to be. The results were quite evident to him that such torment of attraction and repulsion, aversion, ultimately ends up in death. And death is not a very pleasant thing, as we're seeing at the present stage. Some people are for the first time coming in real contact with what it means to die. There's been a couple of YouTube clips and stuff where it's showing people that are dying of this disease, this coronavirus, and it's not a pleasant thing. Being part of the spiritual care situation, we come in contact with death a lot, and it's not pleasant. It's really not a pleasant thing to go through. So what a horrible, painful death Paranjana had to go through when we hear the description of his death. So King Prachitabari was listening intently, and he was hearing all this, and he started to become transformed. This is the whole point of it. So towards the end of the story, he realizes, actually, Narad Muni, you're talking about me, aren't you? So I go, yes. So the medicine by that stage had already taken effect. You know, it hit home. Bang, you've got it. So yesterday I had to get some stitches out for a small operation that I had. And while I was there, they straight away said, oh, by the way, if you're over 65, the flu vaccine has just come in, you know, the normal flu vaccine for 65-year-olds. So I said, okay, whack it in, you know. So the the thing is, you get a small dose of this flu, but once it's in, there's no going back. That's it, you've got it, you know. So some of the symptoms of the flu start to happen. So that's just like when we infiltrate someone with Krishna consciousness, when we inject Krishna consciousness, like Narad Muni did with King Prachinabari, it has an effect straight away. Whatever small amount that you give to a person, it straight away has an effect. They start to think. Even if they become inimical. Even if, like we used to have in the early Gopal days, this is really going back, in the early Gopal days, we had a restaurant which was downstairs in the cellar in Flinders Lane. And I was managing. And we used to get these Christians coming in that would constantly come and harass us with their philosophy. You know, oh, you just have to take Jesus in your life. You know, what you're teaching is actually wrong. But we were kept on calm and we kept on preaching to them. And then years later when I was running the other Gopals back in Swanson Street, some of these Christians came up to me and said, you know what you said at that time, you know, actually it made a lot of sense, and I've come to the understanding that you're not that far wrong about reincarnation. And I thought, wow. So it dawns on a preacher that even a small little bit of Krishna consciousness, if you can inject that into a person, it makes all the difference and it'll affect them. Similarly, if we eat good food and it's very nutritious, it has minimal value if your power of digestion is weak. So like Narad Muni, he knew how to inject this bhakti into King Prachinabari because he was an expert preacher. There's a quote that Srila Radhanath Swami says, the person who can take the essence of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and present it in such a way that that medicine and that nutrition is digested by the candidate, he is the expert preacher. So what that means is that we have to have flexibility. We have to use our intelligence, use our nous to actually figure out ways how I can encourage a person in their Krishna consciousness. So eventually King Prachinabari actually realized, yeah, well, you're talking about me, and I'll have to take the thing. And then by the time he understood that, his heart was completely open and transformed. And from there, he actually took on, as we will read in the subsequent chapters of this Srimad Bhagavatam, talks between Narad Muni and King Prachinabari. There no more allegory. It's just, this is it. Now we'll give you the full source. This is everything in Krishna consciousness. So we have to preach, all of us, as devotees of Krishna, for time, place and circumstance. And as I said, we have to use our intelligence and our nous to actually figure out how the best way to go about that. And flexibility is very much needed. So Narad Muni gave the most powerful medicine, the Siddhanta of renunciation, power of renunciation, the Siddhanta, with, this is an interesting analogy, with the anesthesia of apparently talking about someone else, with the anesthesia of apparently talking about someone else. So if it was a successful surgery on King Prachandbari, the king left home, as we will see. He was 100% totally convinced. He developed pure bhakti, worshipping of the Supreme Lord, knowing that Krishna will take care of everything and everyone. And at this time, in this unprecedented time within the world, no one has ever seen anything like this before in the world. Not like this. We have to be very careful that we go constantly meditate on this point, that Krishna is behind everything. Krishna will take care of everything. The devotees have to come to this realization. Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport that there are many similar stories in the Puranas of self-realization for the purpose of becoming self-realized. Some of these stories are, has everybody heard of the Panchatantra? Panchatantra is a story about an analogous sort of understanding of animals. You know how that story came about? For those of you that don't, there was a king, and he had two really belligerent children, boys. And they just didn't want to learn. They were just so aggressive, and all the teachers said, these kids are just impossible to teach. They may have had a little bit of autism or something, but they couldn't teach them. So anyway, the king was frustrated. You know, I don't want my kids to be ignoramuses. I want them to learn something. So he put out a message to the kingdom, anyone that can teach my children, I will pay them handsomely. I'll give them a lot of money. So this one guy thought, hey, this is a great idea. And he went up to the king and he said, yep, I can teach your children. And the king said, great, I'll pay you if you can teach my children. So he took the kids, the two boys, and took them outside and he said, actually, mate, I really don't know what I'm going to teach you, you know. I just wanted the money, you know, so you can do what you like. You know, we'll just sit here and let's just talk about a couple of stories that I know, you know. And then he started to relate all these different comparisons with nature through these stories. And the boys became educated in life matters. And so in that way, he tricked the boys into learning. So somehow or other, we have to also be tricky in the way we present Krishna consciousness. The devotees of the Lord are actually tricky. The most tricky is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. He was so tricky. You know, he said one time, if they knew what this old man was going to bring to the world and bring to America, they would never have allowed me in. But he came in as this sweet little mendicant, you know, and, oh, come in, you know, and he exploded the world, explosion of preaching all over the world. He was tricky. There are other instances of how tricky he was also. There's an example of when he was preaching in Haight-Ashbury and San Francisco and stuff. This was in the late 60s, you know, there was the whole drug culture and Timothy Leary, there was the LSD explosion, everybody was into LSD. Has anybody ever taken LSD here? You've taken LSD? It's like when you take LSD, I took it once, before I was a devotee. I took it once, and it's like a cartoon starts happening in your head, right? It's just like weird stuff. Anyway, the thing is, the hippies and the counterculture really into this, you know, into LSD, that this was a means of self-realization and you saw really far out things. So they went up to Prabhupada and they asked Prabhupada, is self-realization, is Krishna consciousness like this LSD? And tricky Srila Prabhupada leant back and his eyes opened up and he said, it's like a room of LSD. Because an LSD, when you take LSD, it's like this little thing on blotting paper, right? This little dot on blotting paper and you ingest that. So if you can imagine a little block, and he said LSD is like a room of LSD. Krishna consciousness is like a room of LSD. So all the hippies and everybody went, wow, man, I want that, you know. So tricky, tricky. And the other thing was, you know, like people would ask him in the early days, even when we came first to Krishna consciousness, they would ask, so how long does it take to become Krishna conscious? And Prabhupada would say, oh, just a few years. In a few years, if you surrender sincerely to Krishna, you'll become Krishna conscious. We didn't realize how long it actually took to become fully Krishna conscious, and it could take lifetimes. But Tricky Srila Prabhupada made it out like, oh gee, in a couple of years I'm going to be Krishna conscious. So you really became enthusiastic about it. So with this coronavirus, we have to think of tricky ways to engage the public and direct them to Krishna consciousness. This is now upon us for the next 6 months, 12 months, maybe 18 months. So we have to think of ways that we can still be vital and potent. And it really doesn't matter what the cause of the virus is. You know, I mean, Adi Purush yesterday was a very nice class, but he was enunciating, you know, that the cause could be this and it could be that. You can get into a whole headspace about that. You know, we don't really care whether it's 5G, electromagnetics, or a conspiracy plot, or aliens have come down here, or whatever. It's here, right? And we have to deal with it in a Krishna conscious way. We don't want to analyze about how the hell it came here. It's here. And somehow or other, we just have to deal with it. So, you know, to criticize modern technology is a problem in one sense, because we use modern technology in Krishna consciousness. Just look at it now. I mean, at this point in time, we've got this set up here. There are hundreds of people watching this class, and, you know, we can contact anybody in the world. At any time, our spiritual master is just a phone call away. We can read any scripture that we want. Any question that we've got about spiritual life is instantaneously in this little box that is sitting next to us. It's just unbelievable, the age that we're in. So if we utilize it in Krishna consciousness, there's nothing wrong with technology. That's the point, that we use it in Krishna consciousness. So actually, it was really interesting yesterday. You know how I'm involved with interfaith, and all the different faith traditions come together. The heads of the different faith traditions used to come together, and we'd meet about specific subject matters relating to spirituality and religion in our society. So yesterday we had to do it online, and so we developed a program, you know, which was Zoom. And you know what? It was the best meeting that we've ever had. Everybody at the end of the meeting said, wow, this was just such a good meeting. Everybody had an opportunity to speak, where sometimes when we're sitting on a big table, the smaller religions tend to, you know, sort of not say very much. And this time everybody was there on the screen and everybody had an opportunity to speak, and it was clear, it was concise, everybody had their information in front of them, and it was a full attendance. Everyone could attend. So, you know, in that way, it was really positive. It was really good. So, I just want to make a point that we shouldn't get too caught up with the gossips and the hang-ups about this coronavirus, this COVID-19. It's just not worth our while. You know, basically, if we find out about what the regulations are, what we can do, what we can't do, that's it. But I know that some devotees now, they're on their phone all the time. What's the latest thing? What can I do? You know, oh, there's this cure. If you do this, then you can get that. If you drink this, you can get that. You know, it's just like, really, we have to stop that. We have to be really, understand what is needed and then leave it. So don't waste our time. Prabhupada used to say, don't waste our time in idle chit-chat. You know, trying to discuss, is it this, is it that, what's happening now, you know? So, you know, because all of that makes us very nervous. And, you know, Adi Purush Peru was also mentioning that yesterday. This uneasiness, if you're constantly bombarded by, oh, the coronavirus is in Italy and it's killed so many people and now it's in India and it's like this, you know, it's like, you become uneasy. You won't sleep properly, you become in anxiety. And consequently, what happens is, with that anxiety, it weakens the immune system in your body. And so you become a prime candidate for this virus yourself. So you have to be really careful and just maintain a positive attitude. Krishna will protect us. This is what we're mentioning before. Krishna will protect us. Krishna's everywhere. And that's it. You know, so don't become too stressed about this whole thing. See it as an opportunity in one sense, you know. And we may be confined to our homes. Some of our grihastha friends may be confined to our homes. So what? That's okay. There's a negative connotation to this whole thing of self-isolation. And Jai Shetty, do you know Jai Shetty, right? He gives these wonderful, he was on CNN the other day. And he said instead of having this concept of self-isolation, he said, look at it more as a point of having solitude. Now the sages and saints used to go all out to try and find solitude in their lives. They would run to the forest to have solitude. They would hide in a cave to have solitude. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to get closer to God. And they didn't want any disturbances. So we should relish actually an opportunity of solitude. I mean, I was just chanting outside here. I mean, I've never experienced the temple so peaceful. No little kids running around your feet. And I was just chanting. And you brahmacharis and brahmacharinis, you got it made. You got this absolute palace all to yourself. Utilize it in Krishna consciousness. Use it and really make use of it. So throughout the ages, the sages have wanted this solitude. So we should take an opportunity and develop skills during this period of solitude. We should develop skills. If we've got extra time, develop skills. Learn more shlokas, learn some more bhajans, learn Sanskrit, learn to play the harmonium, so that when this thing eventually finishes, when it's all over and done with, and it will come to an end, you come out a more potent preacher. You come out and be able to do so much more than if you didn't have this time of solitude. So there's a real positive to this as well. You know, so many devotees, we got the opportunity now for online preaching. It's really amazing, you know. There are devotees all over the world now are doing these things where they're promoting Bhagavatam classes, lectures. A lot of the gurus are actually giving classes online. You can connect with any guru, you know. People that had previously not done classes are now doing classes online. Even our own Keshava Prabhu, he's doing a whole series of classes on the Uddhava Gita, the 11th canto of Bhagavatam. Uddhava Gita is amazing, and Keshava Prabhu is really expert in that, and online he'll be able to give classes. So in every way you have to think, be clever, how can we do things? Yesterday also Adi was encouraging people to pray. This gives us a greater opportunity to pray. But not necessarily just our tradition, encourage everyone to pray. So actually one thing that we're doing is in our place, what we came up with, we're going to be distributing letters to our neighbours about counselling and learning to meditate and that kind of thing, you know, on a very broad sort of basis, and saying because of this, the stress and anxiety, it's good that you reduce the stress. If you'd like to learn or have some counselling, we're here. We'll be able to do a bit of a link-up online. And it was interesting, the other day I was in the studio and I was painting, and I came out and there was this lady all of a sudden just standing there, you know. And she was a lady from down the road, and she'd been going door-to-door to all the houses saying, are you okay? Do you need any support or anything? You know, are you okay? And she was a Christian. She said, you know that Jesus will save you. I said, yes, madam, I know that. Thank you. And she was really nice about it, you know. So we got to think of different ways of how to actually present Krishna consciousness. Praying is good. As Adi Purush was saying yesterday, praying is good. On an internet level, on an interface level, however, we should encourage our brothers and sisters in other faith traditions to pray in their own way. To pray in their own way. It's not necessary that everybody has to chant Hare Krishna, that's the only way to communicate with God. That's not. So, and in a tricky way, if a Hare Krishna devotee is encouraging another person to chant or to pray in their own tradition. This is the time now, my friend, to pray to Lord Jesus and really ask for guidance and direction. That leaves an impression on the person. This Hare Krishna is not promoting his own thing, he is encouraging me, and that's the injection, the medicine. They'll want to know more about you. This is all about friendship, it's all about connection. So there was a really an interesting thing that I have to relate to you, which was so nice in regards to Srila Prabhupada and this point of prayer. Bhakta Russell Sara, he sent me this little clip. I don't know if some of you also saw this. And it was a class where Prabhupada went to this interfaith function, right? And at this interfaith function, they had this prayer session. And so the devotees were with him, and the prayer session started. And they were praying, in a, whether it was a Christian or an Islamic tradition or whatever, and they started to pray. When they started to pray, Prabhupada folded his hands, closed his eyes, and stayed like that through the whole prayer session. The devotees then turned to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you know, they're not chanting Hare Krishna. Is there any effect? He said, you got it all wrong. He said, they are praying to God just as you pray to God. It's just in a different way. And Prabhupada was so sensitive to that that he was, actually what he said was, after the prayer, when he came out of his meditation, he said, wasn't that beautiful? He said to the devotees, wasn't that beautiful? And they then said, but Prabhupada wasn't chanting Hare Krishna. And he again told them that it doesn't have to be. They're praying to God in their way, and we pray in our way. So we should encourage people to pray. So anyone you come in contact with, if they say, what's the solution to this coronavirus? Pray. My friend, pray. This is a time for prayer. This is a time for introspection. You have to know more about yourself. We're all fallible soldiers. Anything can happen at any time. So this is really what we should do. Over the last couple of Bhagavatam classes, it's been stressed about that we have to have service to the Guru. Our duty is to the Guru and Krishna and Guru, Tadvidi Pranipatane. That verse has come up several times during the classes. So Srila Prabhupada also, and it was mentioned how Prabhupada diligently served his spiritual master, but Prabhupada also had time of solitude. You know, prior to coming to the West, he spent a lot of time in Vrindavan, just internally with the deities, translating and so on and so forth. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told Srila Prabhupada on their first meeting to preach in the West. So this was his direction. And Prabhupada followed that right through. And he said that without Krishna consciousness, the problems of the world cannot be solved. So all these problems that are in the world, without Krishna consciousness, they cannot be solved. So that's true today. It's very, very true today. And it said that if you water the root of the tree, we solve the problems of water for all parts of the tree. So we have to provide this nutrition for the tree of life. So devotees see the whole picture in every situation. We see the whole picture in every situation. We see what the truth is behind this coronavirus. So this is the single message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Savaipam sa paradoma yato bhakti ahokshajay ahoita ki apatiyata yatma supersiditi. Therefore it is important that every day we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, and now there is no excuse. We can listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam every day in the comfort of our home. Even if you have the coronavirus and you're laid up in bed, you can get the screen and watch the Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Srila Prabhupada wrote in one purport that Maya is very strong. Unless one is carefully and attentively chanting 16 rounds every day, one can fall victim to Maya at any moment. So this has to be taken aboard. Now we're able to chant nicely. This is the other positive of this whole solitude. I know that a lot of Grihastha men and women who had to work, they leave work at 7 o'clock and they sit in the car and all this kind of stuff. Their rounds are actually woeful. You know, they have to chant on a train or on a tram, you know, and it's just not conducive to chanting, but that's where they have to do it because of their commitment. They have to chant their 16 rounds, or after work when they come home, you know, and they're tired after a whole day's work sitting in traffic for hours, and then you've got to chant another 10 rounds or 6 rounds or whatever. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Now there's no excuse. Krishna's given us this opportunity. Every single one of us, if you're working from home, you don't have to start work at 9 o'clock. You can get up early and chant your rounds properly in front of your home deities. You can have darshan of our deities here. You can listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam class. You can become advanced. This is your opportunity. So this is a wonderful thing. So set up a timetable, you know, set up a routine and follow that. And you'll get great benefit during this time of solitude, you know. So take shelter of the Lord, we can maintain our spiritual integrity. If we take shelter of the Lord, we can maintain our spiritual integrity. Devyesha gunamaya mamamaya durajada. Material nature is very strong. Only if we take shelter of Guru and Krishna can we make progress. Otherwise, if we're not making progress, Prabhupada says you'll be smashed down. You'll be smashed down. So the so-called coronavirus is not our enemy. It's not our enemy. You know, the people are saying, you know, this is like a world war and the enemy is the coronavirus. It's this little guy, you know, with a little helmet, minute little thing. He's invading different countries. It's not. Krishna is in the heart of that entity as well. Krishna is in the heart of the coronavirus. We are here in this material world at this time of the pandemic because we are meant to be here at this time. This is our karma. We are meant to be here. So we're meant to learn something from this. We're meant to grow from this. There's a really wonderful quote where St. Francis says, you know St. Francis of Assisi in the Christian tradition. He says, no one is to be called an enemy. You can't call anybody an enemy. All are benefactors. All are benefactors. And no one does you harm. No one does you harm. You have no enemy except yourself. You have no enemy except yourself. This is St. Francis. So this is really true. And this is that we can learn from this situation. We can learn from this whole pandemic that's going on. I want to take a little thing from a lecture that Srila Prabhupada gave in Hawaii in 1975, January 29. And Prabhupada says, Krishna says, I will give you protection. And then Prabhupada says, just like I am giving protection to my hands and my legs, so what about Krishna? Krishna is also prepared. But if you deny his protection, that is a different thing. But if you are prepared to take his protection, aham sarvasya prabhava, then you should immediately be abhay, fearless, no more fear. Prabhupada says then, rake Krishna marekesh, mare Krishna rakekesh, rakeke. If Krishna wants to kill you, who can save you? Nobody can save you. And if Krishna wants to protect you, who can kill you? This is, and Prabhupada emphasized, this is philosophy. Abhayam, fearless. Prabhupada continues, if you want to be fearless, if you want to sanctify your existence, take Krishna consciousness, but don't deviate. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said this in the class. So we tackle this event in our lives with courage and faith that Lord Krishna is in control and surrendered to his will in all things. Just like we have the teachings of Lord Jesus Christ. When he was being crucified, he said, thy will be done. In other words, we just surrender. Whatever happens, my Lord, that's fine. I want to end with one of my interfaith friends told me this story. I want to end with this story, which is really quite a nice story. He's a Sufi friend. And he was explaining about God in his tradition, and he said there is a Sufi story about a man and a woman who had to cross this river, and they're in this boat. Some of you may have heard this story. And they're in this boat, and they're crossing the river, and all of a sudden the river becomes very turbulent. There's a lot of waves and everything, and the boat is rocking, and the man and the woman are sitting there. Now he's a warrior. He's a saintly, right, like a Raja Rishi. A very saintly man. So he's sitting up one end of the boat and his wife is up the other end of the boat, and the rock is rocking around like this, and all of a sudden she becomes really fearful. Oh, what's going to happen? Are we going to drown? well, come on, what's going to happen? You know, and the waves are tossing and everything. And he's just sitting there. He's just really peaceful. He's rocking around with the boat and everything. He's not making anything. He said, what's the matter with you? Why are you so peaceful? And then all of a sudden, he draws out his sword. He runs up to his wife and puts his knife to the sword to the woman's neck. And the woman goes, aren't you afraid? And the woman goes, of course I'm not afraid. You're my husband. You love me. You know, you're never going to slit my throat. And he said, so? God loves me. And I don't have to fear anything. Because whether he wants to kill me or whether he wants me to go to the other side of the river, either way, it's his plan. And he loves me and he'll only want good for me. So either way, I'm not perturbed by that. So that's the same for us. Either way, whatever happens to us, it doesn't matter. God loves us. God loves us. And so we have to make the most of this situation to advance in Krishna consciousness, become tricky to present people with Krishna consciousness in a really different way, become really innovative. I know the devotees in Wyndham are doing a friend-to-friend meal distribution program. Also, you know, like Manmohan Prabhu is doing prasadam distribution for those people here. Tricky stuff. Put a little note in there. This is from your friends at the Hare Krishna temple. When this is all over, why don't you come and see us? You know, stuff like that is, it really, wow, this is from the Hare Krishnas. We used to do that flat block, you know, with Father Bob. Also, might be an idea to ring him up and see if you can help out in any way. Might be an idea. But we're doing that in Wyndham. It's friends for friends, you know, we're just helping each other out. Stay in contact via internet, via social media, and learn, become a little bit more Krishna conscious. Take this opportunity of solitude. I'll stop here, Prabhu. Any comments or questions at all? Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhu. Wonderful. Just from talking to devotees, I understand two classes of devotees. Like one set of devotees are happy to be at home, spend day after day just reading, chanting, and just have a good time in the solitude. And there's another class who can't do that.
Well, it's the mind. The mind is playing tricks on you. You have to accept the situation that you're in. You can't change it. This is it. So then the mind becomes agitated, and when the mind becomes agitated, you start to look for other things. But come back to the basics. You know, and see yourself as a sage. See yourself as a renunciate. Because this is the whole thing that Narad Muni is preaching to King Prachandabari about renunciation. You have to go within. You have to be peaceful. So although, you know, that agitation is basically just the mind. And if you are agitated, then direct that agitation into how can I preach? How can I do something? I mean, this woman down the end of the road just up and went, you know, her family was saying, Mum, you're crazy. This was this Christian woman that came up to our house, you know. Mum, you're crazy. You're going to people's homes, you know. They'll think you're nuts, you know. She said, doesn't matter. You know, I'm just going to see if everybody's okay. And then give them a message, you know. That's how she starts off, you know. Are you okay? Can anything, do you need meals or anything? Just remember Jesus, right? Jesus will save you. Yes, madam, thank you. But I mean, in the same way, if you're agitated and you want to do something, then think of ways. If you have to get out of the house, then think of ways. How can I preach? What can I do to preach? Go online, set up a preaching course online. Contact your friends, your relatives, you know. At this time, maybe you'd like to go back over your old boyfriends and girlfriends and give them some information or something about Krishna consciousness. Don't let the mind take you away from the purpose of this whole thing. You know, Krishna is making this arrangement for all of us to learn something. This is actually a wonderful time for the devotees to actually make spiritual progress. And there has to be some time of solitude and peaceful mind, you know. Chant more. My God, why restrict it to 16 rounds? Go for a walk by yourself, you know, do the social distancing and all that kind of stuff. Mataji's up in front, you're behind. chant 64 rounds, chant 32 rounds. Why not? If you've got the time, you've been laid off work or whatever, you know, there's nothing else you can do. You either preach. We have to utilize this. See it as a godsend. The coronavirus, Krishna is in the coronavirus and he set this up for a purpose. And we take advantage of that. It's not a negative, it's a positive. And whatever happens, Krishna loves us, thy will be done. Doesn't matter. You take me or don't take me, it's okay. Remember that analogy of the guy with the knife. He went straight for her throat. Oh, you're not going to kill me, you love me. That's the attitude we should have with Krishna. You're not going to do anything. Whatever you want to do with me is fine, my Lord. I love you. That's it. You love me, I love you. You know? So do some extra. If your mind is out of control, why? It's 16 rounds minimum. If you can chant more, it's great, because if you actually extend it, you get greater ecstasy. Did you know that? If you go beyond the 16, even you do two, those extra two are better than a lot of the other ones that you had in the 16. Have you ever noticed that? Oh, chant an extra couple of rounds. Krishna gives you an extra little bit of a push. So chant more rounds. Do more reading. Don't become agitated by your mind. Just really pacify the mind. This is my time for solitude. I'm the hermit. I'm stuck in my cave and I can really develop my Krishna consciousness. All right? Thank you. Any other comments or questions at all? Thank you, Prabhu. All glories to you who are listening today. Might be the last time. I don't know. Who knows? It's up to Krishna. Thy will be done. Hare Bol. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki.